For Friendship Sunday, I was going to have this really long Bible story. But Wendy picked a text for us, and it's only one verse long. And before we read, let's ask for our Father to use His Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your Word, through which Your Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we pray that as we open up this Word today, that You would speak to each one of us, whether we are present here or whether we are at home. You know us all, and You know what we need to hear. So speak to us through Your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And here's that long passage that I want to read for you. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. That is God's word today. And we thank Him for it. Now, I've been excited about today for quite some time, because today it is Friendship Sunday, and we get to celebrate with Ebenezer Church, which hosts Friendship, which organizes Friendship, and we now have a beautiful Friendship group. There's a beautiful group of people that are part of this group. Of course, we know Alice and Judy and Joyce and Evelyn, the snack ladies. There's Wendy and Carol, who are up front a lot and who do so much organizing. And then we have our song leaders, Tina, Grace, Marianne, Karen. We have our storytellers, Katie, and I forget who else tells all these stories. We have all the wonderful mentors who each have their own sense of humor and their own ways of embracing our friends. But I haven't gotten yet to the most important part of friendship, and that is our wonderful group of friends. And as I'm standing in front here, seeing where you sit, I'm already hearing some of your voices as you want to give the answers to the questions, and some of you who want to share a prayer request, and others who want to tell something new, and how some of you update us on the latest score of the Edmonton Oilers as our friendship meeting is going on, or how some of you just want to celebrate that their birthday either happened or is coming up again sometime soon, even though it might be 4 or 6 or 8 months from now. Someone on this side cracks a joke and a group of people are laughing, and people on this side go, "Why are they laughing?" Corey or someone else will just shout out. And as I'm thinking about all of you, I know how much I miss you guys, and of course also you ladies. Monday night just isn't the same without all of us together. I've already read today's text of Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And it comes from a very long letter written by a guy named Paul who used to be Saul. Now, you may remember that this Saul wasn't a very nice guy. When he was young, like Corey or Dana, he was someone who chased after Christians so that he could put them in prison. And because of Saul, a lot of Christians fled from Jerusalem to places like Damascus, Antioch, and even Rome. So one day this Saul comes up with this great idea. He's going to lead a group of men, some soldiers, and chase after these Christians hiding in a place called Damascus so that he can throw them in jail as well. But on the way, someone meets him and everything changes. Raise your hand if you know who it is that meets him. I see a few hands, and I suspect a few more also know. It's the risen and ascended Jesus, the Christ. And out of a blinding light, he calls out, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" asked Saul. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, Saul, you get up and you go into that city of Damascus and you will be told what to do." And you may remember that Saul was struck blind in this meeting with Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't mean for Saul to stay blind, but he wanted to show Saul that the persecution of Christians was because Saul was already blind to the truth. And so in Damascus, Jesus sends a man named Ananias. And Ananias goes and finds Paul, or Saul, and he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up, and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And not only did Saul see Ananias, but Saul saw the truth. He saw that Jesus was the Christ, he was the Son of the living God, and that Jesus had died, and he had risen again, and is now our Savior and our Lord. And this Saul, now Paul, wrote this long letter to the Christians in Rome. Now Paul, who used to be Saul, is all about the gospel. He's all about the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son who died and who rose again. And he is convinced that all of us here need this gospel, this good news. All of us, whether we are Christian or not Christian, whether we are liberal or conservative or New Democrat, whether we are Canadian or Dutch or Ukrainian or Filipino or Aboriginal, we need Jesus and his gospel. Now, we just celebrated Easter about 3 weeks ago, and Easter, too, is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son who lived, who died, who rose again, and who ascended to be with the Father, so he can be not only our Savior, but also our Lord. And for Paul, that gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing in all the world. It is through this gospel, through this faith or belief or trust in Jesus, that we can have full life. So now I'm going to read the beginning of Paul's letter, and I want you guys to listen and to count. Count these following words: Jesus or Christ or Jesus Christ, gospel, Son or Lord, grace or loved or faith, God, Spirit. Listen for those words. Count them up. You may need your fingers, your toes, probably a piece of paper, maybe the hairs on your head. Let me know how many times you hear these words. I apologize, but all of a sudden my nose is wanting to run. And I think it's not clear liquid, it's red in color. So, anyway, here we go. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in God. And he wants everyone, hold it, where I'm losing it, it's right here. So he was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish, and that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I don't know, did you guys all count? Did anybody get a number that's higher than 10? Yeah? How about higher than 20? Yeah? Higher than 30? Yep. I don't know what the final count was for you guys. Maybe somebody yell it out. 31. I had 34, but maybe I counted wrong. That's quite possible. And it's possible that there's other parts of that passage where instead of saying Christ, it says his name or something like that, right? So there's lots of different ways that was mentioned. You see, Paul is super excited about the gospel. He's super excited about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he wants everyone to be empowered by this gospel to live good lives. Now, in the church in Rome, there were a lot of good people, but like the church today, they had issues. Some were saying, well, I'm a better Christian than you are because I am Jewish. And my great, 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 great grandparents 1,000 years ago already knew God and knew all his will. And some people were saying, no, we're better Christians because we're brand new Christians. And we just heard about God just a few years or months or weeks ago. And already we are just as righteous as you are. So we're better Christians. God obviously didn't need thousands of years to convince us that he was real. And sometimes similar discussions happen in a church today as well. Somebody might say, well, we're better Christians because we're not afraid of COVID. Or somebody else might say, oh, we're better Christians because we wear masks and we want to help prevent the spread of COVID. Or there are so many other reasons why people might say that they are better Christians than others. But you know what the truth is? Paul says, we're all in the same boat. We are all the worst. None of us wouldn't be good Christians if it wasn't for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those whose great, 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 great grandparents were believers need God's gospel just as much as those who only learned about God last year. I'm getting a little collection here. And those people who sin in this way need God just as much as those who sin in that way. Paul says, we are all sinners. And if it weren't for God the Father, for Jesus Christ, for his Holy Spirit, we'd all be just as bad as anyone that you can think of. In fact, Paul says he was the worst of all sinners because he used to put Christians in jail. And Paul needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again for Paul and for everyone here, everyone who is listening at home, and all our friends as well. And so Paul goes through 11 long chapters telling us all that Christ died and rose for each and every single one of us, no matter what our background. He tells us that God the Father and Jesus the Son sent the Holy Spirit so each of us could be forgiven of our sins and born to a new life of faith and righteousness. And now in this 12th chapter of this long letter, he tells us how Christians should live among other Christians. And later on, he talks about how Christians should live among the whole world. He says stuff like this: because of God's mercy, offer your bodies, yourselves, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He says, let your mind be renewed by God so that you may know what God's will is and so that you may be able to live in God's good will. He tells us not to think of ourselves as better than others. After all, as God's people, we are all different. All of us have different gifts. And God needs all these different kinds of people with different gifts to work together as one. That's what the church is supposed to be, one, with different gifts. Some people are better at serving. Some people are better at teaching. Some are better at giving bear hugs or elbow rubs. Some are better at encouraging. Some are better at giving. Some are better at leading, at organizing. Some are better at praying. Some are better at reading their Bible. And I'm thinking of Desmond right here. How many times did he go through his Bible before he wore it out and needed a new one? Many times, right? See, all of us have gifts. And we're all called to use those gifts for God and for each other. And as we get close to our text, Paul says stuff about serving God's and God's people in love. We don't just serve and say, I gotta work and again I'm serving now. No, we serve in love. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, which is the word that they used to use, but it also includes sisterly love. Honor one another above yourselves. This sounds a little bit like something else you may have heard. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then we get to our verse. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And again, I think of our friends. And when we get together as friends, there is so much joy. Margaret and some of the other mentors tell me that they come to friendship because they are filled with joy during their time here. Sometimes they get here and they're a little grumpy because they had a lousy day. But generally, when we leave here, we're not grumpy anymore. Some of the mentors have told me again and again, I wish that everyone in the church could be part of what we do here on Mondays, so that they could experience what friendship is all about. Each of you is different, yet all of you add to the group. And some of our mentors say, now that's what church should be like. Now, in our last year of friendship before COVID kept us apart, we were looking at some of the Psalms. And we had this nice board made up. God's people. And God's people are made up of many different folks who have many different needs. And in the Psalms, we get to express our feelings. Remember that song that I talked about, the coat of many colors? It expressed our feelings of thanks for a mom who loved us. So do the Psalms express different feelings that we might have. They are real. They were written by people with real feelings. Some people who wrote Psalms were scared. Some were sorry for the sins they've done. Some hurt people. Some others were hurt by different people. Some speak of the beauty of God's beautiful creation. And some people even seem to be mad at God for the way things seem to be. But you know what? Being real about these feelings doesn't separate them from God, but it allows them to eventually appreciate God even more fully. It allows them to be joyful in the hope of a merciful God. It allows them to be patient in affliction. What's affliction? That's a big word, isn't it? It's when maybe you are sick or maybe everything seems to be going against you. That's kind of what affliction is. And it allows you to be patient during a time like that. It allows you to be faithful in prayer. So here are some of the Psalms that we have learned about. I don't know if you... Yeah. So we learned in the first session from Psalm 8 that we can be in awe of God's creation. And we saw pictures of waterfalls, of forests, of meadows, of mountains, of flat areas, of beautiful things that God has created. And then in Psalm 23, we see a description of God as a good shepherd who leads his people the way a good shepherd cares for his sheep. And then we have Psalm 13, and Psalm 13 talks about how sad we can be, how we can be feeling down. And it says stuff like, how long, O God? How long do I have to be sad? And look at the picture. What is that a picture of? It's a grave. It's a pit. That's how deep our despair sometimes gets. And yet, it points also to the open grave that we celebrate at Easter. Then we have Psalm 100. It tells of a wonderful God who made us, and we belong to him. We belong to him in such a way that we can't but help for shout for joy and worship God with gladness. Psalm 46 and other psalms speak of when we are afraid, but then we can realize that God is indeed our fortress. God is our strength, our hiding place. When we are afraid, we can know that God is there to protect us. Psalm 130, lets us cry out to God, waiting for our rescue to be completed, waiting. What? Is waiting just like wishing? No, waiting in hope, in sure knowledge that God's love doesn't fail and that He will redeem us from sin and of our suffering. Then we have Psalm 51 and other psalms like it that allow us to tell God how sorry we are for something that we have done to hurt Him or hurt someone else. Psalmist is just as sorry as Paul was for hurting God's people. And like the psalmist, we know that we have hurt God. We know that we may have hurt someone else. We sang this morning, "He knows my name." But Psalm 139 tells us that God knows more. I got it wrong. It's Psalm 139, not 129. He tells us that God knows more than just our names. He knows every detail about us. He Himself made us who we are. And He knows our brokenness. He knows our beauty. And He loves us so much that nothing, nothing at all can ever separate us from His love. We can be close to God because God knows us better than we know ourselves. See, these psalms, they help us to know God. They help us to know ourselves. They help us to know each other better. We all feel different things. And these feelings that we have are real. And God knows our feelings. And sometimes it helps us to let out those feelings when we talk to God. I am so grateful that each of you are part of Friendship. It wouldn't be the same without each one of you. And in the same way, I am glad that each of you are part of this church, as it wouldn't be the same without you. The way you are, and the way you are trying to be. When I came back to Leduc, Ebenezer, when I joined Friendship at Ebenezer, I was a broken man. I had lost my confidence. I had lost a lot of my joy. I had lost a lot of my strength. But God used the people here, the people in Cadets, the people in Friendship, to rebuild me. And so each of you in Friendship, each of you here, remind me of today's text. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. You have helped restore my hope, my joy. You have helped me be patient with my own hard times, my own afflictions. And you showed me again what it is to be faithful in prayer. May each of us continue in our own way to serve the Lord, to serve His people joyfully, patiently, and faithfully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You have made us. You have created us. You know our strengths. You know our weaknesses. And You know us through and through. And so we don't have to hide anything from when we talk to You. We can tell You anything because You already know it. And so we can be honest with You. And we thank you for each of the people in this congregation that has been supportive of someone else in the congregation. And I'm sure that includes every single one that is present here, listening online, or part of our friendship. Lord, help us to all live faithfully. Serve you, serve your people joyfully, patiently, and faithfully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.